visiting, we're glad you're here. If you're looking for a church, we hope you find one. If it's here, we're excited, but we want you to find a place that you can call home. If you're looking for a bunch of perfect people, you're not in the right place. This is a bunch of broken vessels around here. And if you're looking for imperfect people, you found them. So welcome. So let's pray, and we'll get right into it. Jesus, we love you, and we think so highly of you, but yet the world just gets in our way, and circumstances come against us every day. Every day it's something. Something just comes into our view, a different pain, a different problem, a different thing, God, and it's so easy to lose side of the fact that you have the whole world in your hands. It is so easy to lose sight of the fact that you made us, that you had a plan and a purpose for us because of our pain, because of our fears, because of the loss of control, God. None of us have control, God, but we know that you do. And so, God, help us to rely on that today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to invite you to come back next week because we'll be starting a new series. But today, this is a kind of a one-and-done kind of a thing because it is Easter. I do like to talk about what Easter is about on that particular day. But come next week, and we're going to be starting a new series about what's our church going to do? What are we supposed to do? We're the church. What are we supposed to do? So come back next week. Also, it's one of my favorite days in the sense that it's Food Truck Sunday, so there's some great food trucks. The Hub's going to be open. I think you will enjoy it. It'll be after service. You can get some good grub, get to see the Hub. That rhymes, doesn't it, grub and the Hub? So, yeah, so anyway, come back for that next week. We're glad that you could do that if you can. So our theme for today is He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, and it's an old, old song. Played at the beginning of the service. Some of you saw it, some of you didn't, but if you ever remember that song, that or part of my childhood, that was a huge song. That was a song that we talked about or sang a lot about in church all the time. And it just made sense. And it kind of lulled you to a sense of, you know what? He does. He's got the... So I'm just going to be a kid. I'm just going to be a teenager. I'm just going to be who I am. And you just trust. And then you become an adult, and you kind of forget, and you start having a family and kids and jobs and responsibilities, and all of a sudden it's very hard to keep a grasp of the fact that God is in control and that God has the whole world in His hands. It's that way because there's so much cray-cray in this world. This world that we live is it's just nuts. If anything, the last 2 years has proven to me again, because I've been around for a few years, and I've gone through some weird years, as have many of you. You know, we went through lots of different things in the 70s. We went through, there was no sugar and no gas, and no, you had to wait in line. We've all done certain things like that, but the last couple years has reminded us all again that we're not in control. It has reminded us all that this world is just not our home. That this world is just totally nuts. The things that seem right, that should be as they are, aren't. And things as they aren't, are. That doesn't compute. That doesn't make sense. How in the world does that compute to this thought that the Bible talks about, that our world grew up with years and years ago, that God has the whole world in His hands? And so we're going to talk about that today, in spite of all the things that are out of our control in this world. Matthew 26, if you got your Bible, you can follow along with us on Facebook today. There's all the outline you're going to see up here is also on there. So if you miss something, it's on Facebook and you can get it. He's got the whole world in His hands. Let's go to Matthew 26, I think, maybe. Here we go. So Matthew 26, 38-40 says this. This is Jesus speaking. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going on a little further, he fell his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." And then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Big news for Jesus, big day for Jesus. And he comes back and he does his father's business and he goes and he talks to his father and he comes back and the silly guys are sitting there snoring logs. What in the world? Let's back up a little bit. If you were here for Good Friday, and many of you were, we had our Good Friday service. First one we've ever had here at our church in the physical sense. And it was really, really, I think it was really powerful and meaningful. And we kind of stopped Friday night at this point. And so I'm going to pick up there. And I want to just kind of review the story with all of us today. And then we'll get into you personally. Because I know you came here today to sense something. I think you came here today with a little bit of an expectation to say, is anything going to happen? Or am I just going to go there and it's just going to be another church service that I went to? And I want to tell you, I think God wants to do something today in some of your lives. I believe that God wants to meet you in a way that you've never been met before. And not in a weird way, but just in a holy, holy, distinct way. God wants to come and he wants to do something in you. So as we back up where we left off on Friday night, we left off at the time where Jesus was in the upper room. And so I'm going to start right there. So Jesus has been around for 33 years. Let me just kind of get it all going. He's been around for 33 years. He's been obeying his Father, everything that he's done. He's done what God asked him to do. He knew that torture was right in front of him. He knew that he was going to go through literal hell. And he knew what was coming. And he looks around this table. He looks around this table with full knowledge that one of the closest friends that he spent 3 years of his life pouring into is going to actually betray him for 30 pieces of coin. So the Bible says that right after that, he takes his disciples to this place called Gethsemane, which means the crushing. And he said to his closest friends, "Hey guys, please just stay here for just a minute, just a second, just a little bit." And in Matthew 6:38, he said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." That's what he says, right, as he was telling his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death." I believe some of you here this morning are at that point. You're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed with the cray-cray of the world. You're overwhelmed with the details. You're overwhelmed with the circumstances that are going on in your life. So he, in this place, he says, I just want you to wait. Just wait for me just for a while. And I don't know about any of you, but I think that I understand the disciples a little bit. I think they were sitting there and they were missing all the things about Jesus. They were missing, they'd spent this incredible time with him, and yet they missed what he wanted them to do. He said, just pray with me for a little bit. That's not always in our wheelhouse, is it? We like to do something. We like to control things. We like to throw something at it. Let's throw some money at it. Let's throw a plan at it. Let's do this. Let's take our matters into our own hands. Jesus says, "I just want you to pray with me, just for a little bit." And he says, "My soul aches." I think some of our souls today are aching. The Bible says that scene in the garden, he says, My Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. Take this cup. Well, what is he talking about when he's talking about a cup? Take this cup. It's a cup of suffering. It's a cup that he knew that he was going to have to take. It's a cup that he knew that if he drank it, it was going to be gross. If you ask me today to go back there and get in the bistro and to get a cup of coffee and to drink it, I would spit it out. I hate coffee. I hate it. I can't stand the taste. Never have. It would be a suffering. It would be horrible for me. I don't even like the smell of it. Yet I've got a coffee place in our church. It's for you and Jesus, not me. Cup of suffering. He knew he was going to have to drink this horrible, horrible time. And some of you today, when it comes to doing that, you but God wants me to, I can't do it. But Jesus said it, if it is your will, God, I'll drink it. I'll do it. Two important words that we're going to talk about for a few minutes today, in just a minute, is yet and if, yet and if. Hold on to those for just a second. And here's the other thing I want you to think about. This is kind of, you know, my mind always works kind of strange. And I got to thinking about, here's Jesus, the one who can do anything in the world, anything in the world. And he goes to his disciples and says, just wait with me. And the very thing that he asked him to do, he goes away and he comes back. Even Jesus couldn't control his disciples. They were sitting there, even the very thing he asked them to do, he couldn't control them. What makes us think that we are in control ourselves? You see, it's an illusion. Control is an illusion. If you're here today and you're struggling because of the events that are going on in this world, because of the war, because of high inflation, because of you go to the grocery store and things used to be $20 and now it's $40, and you go to the gas pump, and it's like, it just stresses you out. And there was that COVID thing, and all these things just kind of come along at us. And control is an illusion. That's all it really is. I believe I put it on the screen for you, if we can get that, Mindy. What is control? It's basically this. Illusion of control is your brain's bias that leads us to believe that we have control of the outcome, when in reality we don't. When in reality, read that a couple times. Just let that kind of soak in. What do you have control of? Maybe what you put in your mouth. Maybe what you put in your eyes. There's some things you do have control of, but for the most part, you don't have control over the Ukraine war. There is not one darn thing you can do about that. Do you get all crazy about it because they're killing kids and there's bad? Maybe a little bit for a second. You did. Did you get upset because people died at COVID? Yeah, for a little bit you did. And then you went on because you're a person. And what you do is you try to cope and you try to live and you try to live in this world and you try to navigate the cray-cray and you try to say, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to do what I'm supposed to do? We overestimate our ability to control what really is a bunch of uncontrollable events. And if you're here today and you're feeling the loss of control, which I believe many of you are, then you're in a good place, in a good place. Verse 42, Jesus offers this up. He says, My Father, he's praying to Jesus, or to God, if it's not possible for this cup to take away, I don't want to drink it. I don't want to do it. If we can't do it any other different way, if there's any other way that I can do it, I don't have to go through all this. I don't have to have all that bad stuff happen to me. If there's any other way, Dad, can I do it that way? So I want you to think about this today. Here's a saying I'm going to say a couple times, and if you want to write this down, it's a pretty good saying. It's not my saying. I heard somebody else say it. I think we all take things off of other people all the time, and I do not take credit for this, but I do share this. You don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. You always have the power to surrender. Now, think about that. You say, that's dumb, maybe. No, it's not dumb. It's very powerful. You don't always have the power to control, but you have the power to surrender. To surrender to who? To surrender to the one who made you. He wrote the manual on you. He wrote the book on you. He made you. The Bible says he put you together in your mother's womb. Every corpuscle in you, he knows how it works. And he wants surrender. Surrender means I give up. I can't control this. Because if you think you can control this, you know what most of you are going through, and you know what most of you are having trouble with? You are stressed to the max. You're so stressed and you're worried, and then fear creeps in, and then it's off to the races. It's off to the races. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. One of the most common beliefs in Christianity, in the church today, is a belief that's going through the church, and it's a wrong belief. And the belief is this, that a mostly uninvolved God makes our lives better. I've heard a lot of churches say that, and I'm not sure that's true. Not always. God doesn't always make your life better. He doesn't always make it happier. Talk to some of the people in here that have had a great loss. Talk to some of the people in this room that have lost incredible things. People, health, wages, money, relationships. But you always got the power to surrender. See, it's a false view that God wants to have you happy. He doesn't. It's not all about happiness. But God wants me happy. No, that's not what God said. He wants you holy. He calls you to be holy. What does that mean? That means to have a relationship with Jesus and to be sinless before God. Not that you don't sin, but that as God looks at you, all he sees is Jesus. That's the good news of Easter. That's why so many people have said things like this. Well, I've tried church, and it didn't work. Life is still hard. Ask anybody in here that has a relationship with God, that has a relationship with a church, any church. Life is hard no matter what you do. Anybody want to say yes? Yes. Come on, that was weak. Anybody want to say yes? Yes. It is hard. Life is hard. I went to a funeral Friday, and I talked at this about the good Friday service, and a second sister died of cancer. There's three sisters. How'd you like to be the third sister? And she's sitting there, and she's buried her two sisters, and they're both young with kids. Talk to her for a minute. Life is hard. Talk to the husband. Talk to the kids today. Talk to them. Life is hard. Nobody ever said it would be easy. Nobody said you were going to go gliding through. Nobody ever said that you, it never talks about that in the Bible, that God's going to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't make life better, because he does. But if your view is that you've tried a little bit of God and it didn't work, then therefore there isn't much of a God. That's faulty. That's faulty. And you tried this church and you tried that church. Churches are so flawed because of who runs them. People. People. Screwed up people. Messed up, unbelievably messed up people. I came to say today that our God is working all things to bring about good. Yes, he is. All things to those of love and that are called according to his purpose. He will bring about good things, but it may not be the way that you think the good things are coming. You could say yes to that, but I won't have you do that. God's will is not easy, but it is always good. Dave Baker always says that about the God thing, and I love that. But his will is never easy. Jesus knew what his will was, and he said, if it's possible, don't let me go through this. When the creation was mocking the Creator, when the creation was crying out, Father, what did he say? Father, forgive him. Forgive him. They don't know what they're doing. You think? You think they didn't know what they were doing? They crucified the Son of God. They blew it. And we do the same thing every day when we deny Jesus, when we deny the power that he should have in our life, when we deny him access to every area of our life, that surrender that we're talking about here today on Easter. God's will is not always easy, but it is always good impact. He said as he had his arms out on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is finished. I've done what you sent me to do." And the ultimate act of surrender, Jesus said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And the Bible says he gave up his life. The world went dark. The earth shook. The temple veil ripped. Disciples scattered. What has happened to our leader? Cray, cray is on us. What in the world? That's why you got to remember this morning. And I came to remind you. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. God's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you. He's got me. He's got Ukraine. He's got Washington. He's got any place you can think of. He's got in his hands. They're in his hands. So let's fast forward. The ladies go to check on the tomb. They go there to kind of, to decorate maybe a little bit, to go see. And they get there, and of course, you all know the story. The stone has been rolled away. He wasn't there. And why did God do that? Why did he do that? He did that so that anybody, and that includes any one of you in here, no matter how bad you are, how bad you think you are, how bad you think your life is, he died so that you could have an opportunity to surrender and to live your life for him. Every week I try to ask our church a question. I always just ask usually one. I sometimes accidentally do two, but here's one question. The question is this, the Easter question. What are you trying to control that God wants you to surrender? What are you trying to control that God wants you to surrender today? And I got a feeling that some of you have got a bunch of stuff. You got a laundry list. It'd come out, it'd be all over the floor. How about today you just start with one thing. At the end of the service, we're going to have a time for you to just take that one thing and to surrender to God. I want you to grab onto that right now. I'm going to give you just a second of silence to do that. 10 seconds. Don't get uncomfortable. Nothing's going to happen. Nobody's going to come grab you. Nothing. Just take a few seconds to grab onto what is it that you need to give control of over to God. Think about it. Maybe it was your kids. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was your health. Maybe it was your finances. Maybe it was your thought life. Maybe it was your sex life. I don't know. But one of the things that I'm finding out the longer that I'm a Christian, I'm finding out that surrender means you can't surrender about 72.6%. You can't just surrender a certain percentage. Surrender means all. Surrender means I lay myself at your feet, God, and I want you to do what only you can do in me, because I'm screwing it up. I'm messing it up. Look at me. Look what I'm done with my life. Look at the mistakes. Look at the problems that I've done and I've caused. And I brought on myself because of my choices, because my inability to say no to my children, because my inability to say no, because of some horrible thing that happened to me when I was a kid. God, do what only you can do. Do what only you can do. Real faith starts between the if and the yet. The if and the yet. It starts in between those two things, the if and the yet that Jesus talked about. If God, you heal me. God, then, if God, you give me the benefits. If God, you do this. If God, you do this. No. Your will be done. When's the last time you ever prayed that? It's in the Bible. Not my will, God, but yours. No, God, I want my will. I love my will. It's cool. Until it's not. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. See, the culture, the world tells us, take control. You're in charge. Make it happen. Everything you see, every advertisement, everything. You're in control of you. No, you're not. You have nothing. It's an illusion. And the devil is using it to confuse you because you actually think you are. You think you're in control of your health. You think you're in control of the economy. You think you're in control of this or that, and you're not. It's an illusion. Matthew 10:39. Jesus said this. Boy, I read this and it gets me right here. If you cling to your life, that means the life that you know, what you're doing right now, just controlling everything. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. You see, that's not just words on paper. That is breathed out of the mouth of God, His Son. You will find it. And you will walk in it. And you will have some peace on this earth where others are not having any peace at all. Where others are so stressed out that they're trying everything in the possible and having no success. You see, a surrendered person understands that God is in control, that God has all the world in His hands. He knows that. That's what a surrendered person thinks. So I came to tell you on this Easter Sunday, church, do not let the fears and the worries of this world distract you from the intimacy that God wants to have with you. God wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. You say, that's scary as heck, Jeff. But it's not, because Jesus walks with you. Jesus goes in between, and the Holy Spirit, that part of Jesus and God, comes and says, this is my son. This is my daughter. Let me introduce you. Some of you are so, this is so foreign to you. You're going, now, what the heck is he talking about? God wants to meet you. He cares about everything that goes on with you. He cares that some of you are losing your hair. I stopped worrying about that when I was 12. It was gone. He cares about everything that you're going through. But doesn't seem like it, Jeff. He does. Just because it doesn't seem like it. Jesus went to the cross, His own, God's own Son, and God allowed Him to do it. He had complete control. He could have had the legions come down and take everybody and blow them away. But He chose not to. He chose to do His Father's will. Whatever you're trying to control, God wants you to give it to Him today, church. We're going to pray as the band comes. Band, come on up. Father, as we celebrate Your resurrection, would You invade our hearts with peace that goes beyond our human ability to understand? God, there are some of us here today that are confused. Everything I just said was just kind of weird to them, and they don't understand it, or they disagree because they've done it before. They tried God, they tried church, they tried, and it didn't work. But God, that doesn't mean that You're still not God, and that You're still not working, and that You're still not doing something incredible. Because if we were there at the day of that cross, at the foot of the cross, and we looked up and we saw our Savior, we would have said, what is going on? But God, we got the rest of the story. And the rest of the story is we saw in Your word where He went back up to heaven, and He said, I'm coming back again. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I want to meet you there again. So Jesus, today, do a work in us in this service. I know that my words don't always do much, but I know your word does. It comes back powerful. It comes back strong. So God, just move. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. How we're going to handle this is, if you're here today and God is speaking to you, there's a couple ways. In the back of the room back there, in that door right over there, there's some folks that you can go to and talk to and say, I don't understand what I'm feeling. I don't understand what I'm sensing. I walked into this room and I just felt God wanted to say this to me. Let somebody pray that through with you today. If you're here today and you need to pray and you need to say, I want to repent, maybe after the service, walk over to our prayer room over here. We call it our war room. Walk in there. Nobody will meet you in there. Just go in there and pray. If you're here today and you're like, I need to start over, do it right there in your seat. Ask God, remake me, remold me, do what you want to do in me. Just a minute, we're going to have a baptism. Hopefully next week we'll have some more. I told you about that funeral. The preacher at the end who wrapped it all up, there was 300-400 people there. She was a teacher. She was knew a lot of people. And he told the crowd, he said, I'm not going to talk about heaven. I'm not going to talk about what it means to be a Christian. But if you ever want to see Janet again, when you walk by that casket, you have two words you can say to Janet as a believer. I'll see you again, or I'll never see you again. Because if you're not part of the kingdom, doesn't matter how good you are, doesn't matter how nice you are, doesn't matter what you do for your community, doesn't matter for what you do with your clubs, without Jesus, the Bible says, all that is for naught. All that is just rubbish. So you need to begin a relationship with Jesus. Today, in just a minute, young Corbin Sodders, not related, is going to come and he's going to let his mom immerse him. I baptized his mom several years ago. What a cool thing to see. What a great thing to be a part of. But this is about you. As our kids come back in, I want you to just to spend these next few minutes. These are important. It's not that we're trying to take up time. It's not that we're trying to delay the service. I want you to understand how great it is that God wants to meet you right now where you are. Let's see what God does as the band plays. Sing along with them. See what God does in your heart today.
Oh, my soul, my Savior, God to me. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Everybody.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall with shout of acclamation and leading home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow with humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Sing it out. Here we go.
How great thou art.
Wow. Kind of makes you understand, if he's got the whole world in his hands, how great he is. How great he is. Amen? Amen. That means yes, by the way, if you wonder what amen means. Just means yes, yes. It's a church word that we just made into yes. We're gonna move right along because we know that you have other things to do today. I want to just say to you this, surrender. You can't do it a partial. You can't do it a partial. I pray that God brought something to your mind today that you need to surrender control back to Him. And then next week, maybe another thing. And maybe the next week, another thing. And on and on and on. That's what the Christian life is about. It's about growth. It's about moving forward every day. If you have some questions about our church, if you have questions about your faith, Brandy and Chris are back over in that corner. I'll be on the door on the way going out. We'd be glad to talk to you. Don't go home with questions. At least say I'd like to make an appointment or something like that. We are here for you because we are not perfect people. We are just forgiven. We're going to have Whitney come on up and Corbin, and I think the Sodders can come on up too if they can get up here. Yep. Where's Whitney? There she is. Go, go, go. And Mindy, can you just go on and cue up the news? So right after that, we'll do the news while they're getting prepared.
Good morning, everybody. This is a very special young man. This guy has been talking about getting baptized for how long now? A long time. A long time. And he's very excited. It's really cool because he has also overcome a lot of fear about doing it in front of people. So this is a double big deal. But I'm going to let him introduce himself to you.
Corbin.
Corbin. And then this is his mom.
Mandy.
Yes, yes. We're so glad you guys are here. So I'm going to take his confession, and then they're going to go get dressed, and we'll watch a little video, and we'll get this going. All right, Corbin.
I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I take him as my Lord, my Savior, and my boss.
Amen. All right. Go for it, buddy. Good job.